Okay, let's step into hour number three. And welcome back, a friend of yours and friend of mine for many years, Jordan Maxwell, whose mind probably holds more unique and important information about what's really going on than most anyone else in his realm. And his realm, of course, is the occult symbology, which is all over the planet, in our faces, telling us exactly that there is a highly intelligent, organized conspiracy at work to dominate, subjugate, and ultimately to eliminate most of the people on the planet to set up a very small little operation, which I call Plantation Earth, if they survive it. The planet is in such bad shape now, one wonders. In fact, Adam Trombley, the environmental scientist, told me in, I don't even remember when, 94, the first year this program was up and running, that in the mid-80s, the point of no return environmentally came and went. It was too late. I'm not sure if he's right, but that's what he told me. And as I look around, I see no effort whatsoever on the part of any multinational or any major government to really change the rape of the planet, the oceans, the rainforests, the environment. 75% of the groundwater, some say, in the United States is now hopelessly, irrevocably, forever polluted. We could go on and on and on. Our lakes, our rivers, our waterways are full of not only petrochemicals, but pharmaceuticals, heavy metals. The idea of reusing sewage to drink and to fertilize crops is insanity. Of course, insanity is everywhere. Jordan, welcome back. How are you?
Well, thank you, Jeff, for having me back. And it's a pretty dim picture the world is in. I'm just amazed that so many people don't realize that we are the cause of it. I mean, we let things happen, and we just go along every day not caring one way or the other, figure let government take care of everything for you.
By our silence, we allow.
That's right. And
I was looking at the featured stories during the break, and there are some really important things to read up there. And Gerald Celente's Top Trends is up there. But in only 60 years ago, give or take, some horrible, inhuman things were going on this planet, which the history books completely ignore. Well, they've been scrubbed. They're written by the con artists who run this game. And the story is called Hideous, Inhuman, Allied, as in America and Britain and France. Slaughter of Germans after the war. The story is called After the Reich. You need to read it to understand. Somewhere between 8 and 12, 13 million Germans from 1946 to 1953 were killed.
Yeah, and that was Dwight David Eisenhower. He was one of the main players in that time. He purposely did that. He purposely decided to just kill off a lot of Germans, kill them all off.
He hated them.
What was it called? The Operation, what was the name for it?
Well, Keel Hall was one of them.
Yeah, Keel Hall was one. There was another one. But all of these great leaders like Eisenhower and
De Gaulle and Churchill.
And then you come to find out who these people really were, who they really were working for. You know, Eisenhower is interesting that he's the man that changed the presidential retreat. When George Washington set up the presidential retreat, and he called it Shangri-La. And for all those years, from George Washington's time down to Eisenhower, the presidential retreat was always called Shangri-La.
I didn't know.
Eisenhower came in because of his financial backing, and he changed the presidential retreat to Camp David.
Why didn't he just name it the Star of David?
Yeah, well, I mean, basically that's what it was. So he called it Camp David, and since then we have Camp David. So most people are not picking up on any of this stuff, you know.
No, they won't.
Words and terms just flow in your face. And most people don't even see it. I mean, we're told in the Bible about the children of Israel, but of course you have kids, kids are baby goats. So there's a big distinction there between the children and kids. So consequently, that's what we have. We're supposed to have kids.
Interesting. Okay. Now think about that. That's what baby goats are called, kids.
Yeah.
And we have kids.
Yeah.
But the Israelis,
in the Bible, the Hebrews were called the children of Israel.
Right.
In Israel, they didn't have kids. They have children.
Well,
we have kids. And, you can go on and on for hours.
We love this stuff, so don't hold back. The idea, of course, of Goyim. What does Goyim mean?
Well, it's been translated different ways, but basically it means people of the nations. Anybody who is has a nationality that is not Hebrew, or doesn't come from that Hebrew line, is called Goyim, or Goy. G-O-Y is the short of Goyim.
And
it simply means those people of the nations.
Uh-huh.
And the people of the nations were considered, and still are considered, to be nothing more than animals. As a matter of fact, you would be surprised to know that even in the English language, according to British English, the way governments operate, there's a book out that gives you the terms that are correct to use in government. And it's interesting that it says that if you're referring to a man or a woman, the correct term is masculine or feminine. If, though, you are referring to an animal, then the correct term in English is male or female. So, therefore, that's why on all identifications, for us, we are either male or female, because we are, according to the British way of language, we are animals. Mm-hmm. We are not man and woman. It would be on your driver's license, masculine or feminine. But it's not. It's male or female, and that's for animals. Because that's what our masters think of us, as a bunch of animals. And unfortunately, too many people are acting like animals. And I like to say
that
Christians are right when they say that we did not evolve from apes and chimps. That's true. We are evolving into apes and chimps. That's the problem. we are being made into the likeness of the animal kingdom without any ability to think, to reason, to question.
No, just to react.
Yeah, just to react and pay your bills and do what you're supposed to do and stay out of the way, and your masters will take care of all the business for you.
How is it, Jordan, that we are supposed to reach out to the younger people? And I'm talking about people 30 and under now, who have not been able to develop not only intellectually, but any kind of moral or behavioral bedrock that we grew up with. They don't speak the language. They don't understand the morality that we grew up with. They laugh at us. They think we're stupid. And yet the average IQ, of course, continues to decline, the IQ score. And the vocabulary is dropping like a rock. So you cannot wake someone up where there, in fact, is no one home. It doesn't work.
You've got it. That's exactly right. I'm just amazed watching people as I go through life. You know, going to a department store or to any public building, and you confront someone behind a cash register with something they've never heard of before, and they just look at you with glassy eyes. They have no idea who you are, what you're talking about.
Like, you'll get the same thing when they have to count change.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen anymore.
I'm just amazed how profoundly ignorant and ill-informed people are.
You know, it's really
especially
scary.
Young people today.
I was going to say, what really scares me is to listen to the conversations of young people in a public place, a shopping mall, or whatever. I'm talking about 18 to 20 year olds. 21, it doesn't matter.
We see 25 year olds are older on skateboards around here. You know, and the great men of the ages were dying at 40 years old. They were great men at 20. And, you know, today at 25 and 30, we got goofballs on skateboards.
Arrested Development total. But there is no development. It's just they hit it and that's it. Their biological development continues, but their intellectual development stops.
No doubt about it. As a matter of, you know, I get so many people asking me, they call or email me and ask me, well, where do I start to research this kind of material? And I asked them, I said, well, why don't you start with my website? And they said, oh, yeah, I've been to your website. And I said, well, did you go to the research materials? No, we didn't see that. And I said, well, what about the links? Did you go to the links? No. Did you go to the audio video? No. Uh-huh. And I said, well, what have you gone to? Well, we saw your picture on the home page. We saw your picture. And then they call and ask me to show them how to study, where to go for the information.
They want you to do the work
right
for
there.
Them.
I mean, just look on my website.
They don't want to do the work.
I don't know what to say. I mean,
I know it is mind-boggling for those of us who are sooner or later going to be on the way out. Unfortunately, Stalin knew, Lenin knew. They said, "To hell with the parents! Give us the children for two generations, and we have it."
That's exactly right, and they've done it.
Yeah, hold on. Back in a minute. Okay, let's get right back to our conversation with Jordan Maxwell, who will be here every month, the third Monday of each month, 9 o'clock Pacific time. I knew we were finished when I saw MTV arrive. I saw it for what it was. So did you, Jordan, with the beginning of the end, the merchandising of a lifestyle.
Yep.
And that lifestyle was the antithesis of individual achievement and accomplishment. It was the predication of celebrity as being the ultimate goal of any normal, rational young person, to be a celebrity. That was it. And then, I got a laugh some years ago when CNN actually hired one of the former heads of production of MTV to come over to spruce up their newscast.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right, because the adults are now just as bad as the children.
They are children.
Yep. They're adults in bodies, but their minds are still back in the fourth grade. And, as I said, I knew when I first came to California back in 1959, I realized, because I was on my own by myself, and I realized that if I'm going to live in this world, I need to wise up and wake up and find out what's going on. So I started reading and studying everything I could get my hands on. I lived out at UCLA and USC, and did research on secret societies, on Bible codes, on the occult world of words and terms and symbols. And all my life I have lived on the edge, seeking knowledge and wisdom, only to wake up now today in a country that has no idea in the world what I'm talking about, have no concept of the importance of symbols and words and how history has been rewritten. And
we've gone the other direction now. And in England and over here as well, the brighter young people are quite often actually scoring poorly on tests because they're ashamed to get good grades because their peers will mock them.
Yeah. You're right.
That's how brilliant this whole strategy has worked.
Yeah, and there was that one. I was reading about this one guy who was applying for to be a sheriff or a policeman back east, and he scored so high they said they couldn't use him. He's too intelligent, and he wouldn't fit. So
yep.
Don't even bother. So
I
they
believe
just,
it.
They just
sure.
Yanked him.
Yep. And he used to do that with truck drivers,
yeah,
because they couldn't stay focused on the driving. They'd start thinking about too many other things.
You know, when we're thinking about this monetary system, there's so much can be said about that, because the symbolism in the money, not just on the bills, but the symbolism behind money is astounding when you start to really get into, and this is a subject which virtually very few people on the earth know, that money is connected to water, because there's only two things on the earth. There's the earth is land, and water, and that's about all there is to the earth. And so there are two kinds of laws on the earth. There's the law of the land and the law of water.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear the term law of the land, never realizing the law of the land is as opposed to the law of water, the law of the sea. And the law of the sea is money, banking. And so once you understand money is actually, in fact, related to water. And that's why we say money goes through your hands like water. No, money is water. It's the cash flow, the liquid asset. And when you begin to see how these words and terms are put together, it's a whole study. I've studied it for years, and I'm not an authority on this at all, but I've been in the company of the guys who are. I've got about five different friends who are absolute masters at the use of words in law and commerce. And it's just an extraordinary story of the hidden words and terms that banks use, that governments use in relation to money.
And you must feel like you're from another planet now.
Yeah. It's such an extraordinary story that when I'm talking about this to audiences, I can tell they're looking at me, but they're not understanding a word I'm saying.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it has nothing to do with sports. So what the hell is this guy talking about? Money is water.
Yeah.
It's based on your body, and your body is over 90% water.
Mm-hmm.
So you are a maritime admiralty product. And once you understand that, then you begin to see how money actually works. That's a whole story, and I think I've talked with you about it on occasion.
Oh, it always merits repeating, Jordan. The average person, even people who try, have a 50% memory loss overnight, and at the end of 5 or 6 days, it's 95%+.
Well, yeah, you're right there.
So don't ever worry about repeating something which seems old hat to you, because it's new. Even if someone's heard it 6 months or 3 months or 2 weeks ago, they'll hear it again better.
Well, you're right.
It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. The idea of all of this really is, again, antithetical to what they have decided to teach and to program into the minds of our young people. And this goes back, Charlotte Iserbeet's book, as you know, Deliberate Dumbing Down, a classic, shows the whole thing, how it went. It's 100 years in the planning, and now they're producing exactly what they want. And it's so brilliant because peers enforce the rules.
Absolutely.
They don't have to physically enforce it. And you talk about sports. Look how people, you cannot carry on a conversation with an average American without hearing a sports cliche of some kind.
I mean, that's the way they will describe how big something was. Well, boy, it was about as big as a football field.
That's right. All right. I just calling you up to touch base with you. Right?
That's right.
All right. Or here's the best one of all. Well, the ball's in your court now.
That's exactly right. Yep.
So,
and
I mean,
you're not a team player.
No.
So, I mean, you know, all ships in relation to money, all ships, whether it's a sailing ship or a rocket ship, it doesn't matter. If it's a ship, it's on the maritime admiralty, and all ships are female. And you know, that's why you'll hear captains talk about she's a good ship. Ships have to be, by law, female, because she delivers a product.
Got it. Hold on right there. We'll come right back to that. Back with Jordan, and we're talking about lots of unfortunate things. The way people think, it's all about sports. Sports teams, of course, are warfare in microcosm. Our army is going to go beat your army. It doesn't matter whether it's football, basketball, baseball. This is warfare sanitized and brought back to the atavistic side of humankind. And people not only adopt these teams as their favorites, but they become actually a significant and substantial part of their entire persona, which is pretty damn scary when you think about it.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, with the video games that are purposely designed to bring the human mind into a state of thinking, so that's the way you live. You live the whole world as a video game, and nothing is real. There's a great book out on that. I have it under my research button. In the middle of the research page, as they recommend the books and materials, there's a book in there that's extraordinarily important. It's called Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television by Jerry Mander.
And I had Jerry on the program years ago. Terrific book.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Explains how the human brain works in relation to television, mm-hmm. and how these people put this stuff together purposely and designed mm-hmm. it. It's an incredible story, but I just see the mutation of the human race, and most people don't see it at all. You know, when Bush was in office, the first time the Bushes came into a presidential office, all of Hollywood began turning out movies which were anti-communist, showing the Germans were defeating the communists. Now, since the communists are in office with Obama, and we now have a full-blown Soviet communist government, now there are Hollywood is turning out all kinds of television movies and television shows and motion pictures that are pro-Soviet, pro-Russia.
Oh, the evil Germans. We got four or five more Holocaust films coming out in the next year, I understand. And, yeah, it's constant anti-Germany.
And This whole thing in Hollywood is just a mess today because it's so far gone, and people seem to love it. I mean, the people stand in line and pay money to see things which is nothing but propaganda. If you begin to analyze what Hollywood is, first of all, you have somebody with the money who is called an executive producer. And the executive producer doesn't have to know anything about how to make a movie. He has the money. Then he finances the project. Therefore, now you need a producer, and he will be the one that is producing the product for the executive producer. Now what you have to have is an actors. You have to have people who are not necessarily what you see on film, because in real life, these people are on drugs or incredible lifestyles, but they even give out awards each year to who is the best actor. Who is best at acting like a human, who, you know, acting like you care or acting like you're in love? Who's the best at acting? And so then you've got the actors. Now you have to have people who are the script writers for the actors. And then you have to have the directors to make sure that every actor reads the script exactly the way he's supposed to. And so the whole thing is a monstrosity, and people get involved in all of this, and that's where Hollywood now controls the thinking of children, of adults, and most people have no idea in the world that all of this stuff is being manipulated purposely according to a well-laid plan to manipulate and exploit the human race, and that's why Hollywood is the only real going concern right now in America. All the other businesses are going under, but Hollywood is doing great. Why? Because the masters who run the planet make sure that Hollywood has plenty of money. They will have plenty of money, and they will be able to do what they're supposed to do. Everybody else can starve.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the worse times get, the more people go to the theater or rent movies to escape.
That's right. Yep.
Hollywood transitioned from entertainment to propaganda, of course, beginning in World War II and then after, and it's been refined ever since. It is incredible. I went to see a movie accidentally. Yeah, I went to it. It was a multiplex theater, and I had a little extra time, so I went into another theater in the complex. And it was a typical Hollywood pop, teeny. Well, this not really It was about post-teenagers, you know, 20-somethings.
Mm-hmm.
But they really were acting as if they were 12 to 14. At any rate, the thing that frightened me, I didn't run out of there screaming, but it really did, it shook me up a little bit, was how the mass, and it was a packed theater, the mass of the audience laughed on cue every single time at things that were nothing close to resembling humorous.
Yep.
It was a comedy, but it wasn't comedic or funny. And almost invariably, the comedic portions of it, there's an old saying that comedy is all based on tragedy to one degree or another, but this was vicious stuff. It wasn't funny at all. And people were howling with hysterics on cue, totally under control.
Well, you know, and then look at the rest of the institutions in this country. You've got, you know, we have cage fighting, just like the Romans did in the last days of the empire. We have the cage fighters or the martial arts, and that everything on television today is dedicated to either fighting, killing, military, wrestling, prize fights. It's just a menagerie of violence, bloodshed that America has wrapped itself up in.
It's going in the opposite direction to intellectual enlightenment and advancement. It's going back up in the trees.
That's right. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing the effects of it. With fighting now in the streets around the world, there's a lot of violence now.
Right.
Well, of course, we have the people have been fed this violence for so long, and of course, this country is just completely gone with the drugs and violence and the mayhem that's going on. I don't know how much longer the empire is going to exist. We are
in the last.
Very afraid for the future.
We're in the last days of it. What will come out of it, of course, will be what the controllers want. They run their supercomputer models. They know exactly how to orchestrate it.
That's right.
And they'll have what they want.
They always have.
Barring some kind of a miracle that I can't even conceive of. Back in just a few with Mr. Jordan Maxwell. Imagine what it must be like to go through a world like this one as Jordan Maxwell. Just try to imagine what it must be like. He is, of course, the preeminent authority in the fields of secret societies, occult philosophies, and much more. His experiences in the UFO field are pronounced, and he is an authority in that field as well. But beyond that, you must feel like a stranger in a strange land, Jordan, because it is so clear to you, and I've been listening to your voice for over 15 years now on this program, and I just am amazed, as much so today as I was way back then, and you've only continued to learn even more. So.
Oh, yes, and it just gets deeper and deeper. That's why when we're doing a radio show like this, it's very difficult to get into the really dark stuff, and it really is very, very deep on how words are used to manipulate nations and peoples, and how money, you know, the words and terms that are used in banking, and once you begin to see it, once it finally dawns on you that this whole thing is a trick. And once you begin to see where these words have come from, and why do you have a bank? You have banks because they're on both sides of a river called river banks. And what does a river bank do? It directs the flow of the currency, because the whole idea of money is like as I said, is water. It's a cash flow. It's a liquid asset. And It has to do with your body being 90% water. And the banking is based on your body. If you take a dollar bill, take a bill, an American bill, and look at the serial numbers on the bill, on both sides of the bill are serial numbers, and then take your Social Security card out and turn it on the back side and look at the letters on the bottom of the Social Security card, put them up next to a dollar bill, and you will see that the Social Security numbers on the back of your Social Security card are on American dollar bills, 20s, 50s, 100s, whatever. And then you discover that your body is being sold on the New York Stock Exchange, that your body is a security on the New York Stock Exchange, and you were worth about over, right now, human bodies are going at $6 million on the New York Stock Exchange. This is why the government doesn't mind people coming in illegally into this country, because every time you can, any person coming in is worth over $6 million to the bankers, because they can buy your body, buy and sell you on the stock exchange. And that's why if you come in here and you are working, but they don't know you're here, then when they do find out you're here, they can put a lien on you, like a mechanic's lien.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can put a lien on your body, and now you become known as an alien. A lien is on you. You are the one that they have put a lien on, so therefore you are now called an alien.
See where the word came from, folks?
Yeah, and it's and so there's a if you go to What's New on my website, I have a book that's actually three typewritten manuscripts called The Priest of the Illies, and it's just filled with words and terms that have been developed over the centuries during the Middle Ages for us as people, how they have manipulated us and our languages, our thinking. It's a real eye-opener. And like you were saying, I've been looking at this kind of dark stuff for some 48 years, and now I wake up to find out I'm living in a country with people who don't even know what I'm talking about. But there's an enormous amount of information out there, but most people don't even know how to research anything.
No, they don't.
And
they say, okay, Jordan, so what? What difference does it make?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what difference does it make? And I think to myself, one day when the comes down and you discover what has happened to your country and to your person and to your family, and when you finally figure it out, which I already had started looking at this stuff 48 years ago, I'm the one that introduced this whole idea of Illuminati when Myron Fagan, with his records, came out back in 1966, the record set called Illuminati. Well, I was already in 66. I had been speaking at bookstores and little small venues since 59. And then when I found out about the Illuminati back in 66, I started really bringing that into my lectures. And so I was talking about Bible codes and secret societies, mm-hmm. and occultism and mysticism, mm-hmm. and symbols and words and terms in government as far back as the 50, 59, 60.
Is there anything in your research, and this is something I've kind of kicked around for a number of years now, we wonder how so much of humanity can act so callously and heartlessly and in such an empty fashion toward fellow man and woman. I'm wondering if the idea of soul doesn't apply to all humanoids to the same degree, and I'll go a little bit further. Is it possible, and have you found anything in your research to suggest that perhaps not every human being has a soul as we like to think of it? A soul perhaps that is like a seed unsprouted, a soul that is just not there. It's there, but it has never grown. Is there anything to that in your view?
Yeah, I've been looking at that subject for a long, long time, because one half of us is animalistic, and the other half is a spiritual being. And that's always been the big question, throughout time. There's always been a question as to whether we humans are a physical entity that has a spirit, or whether originally we are a spirit that is now inhabiting a physical body. Which one is it? And I think that this is what's happening, what you're seeing around the world, and especially in this country, are people are losing their souls. And I think there's probably something to this idea that you can sell your soul to the devil, so to speak. Because I think there is some kind of an agreement that you make to give over yourself to the world and become like the world. And so I think there is something to this idea
that you can secular sell virus your soul,
because this is what exactly has happened in America. The human race in America has virtually sold its soul. There is no longer any need to be an individual.
And the deal maker is the media. It's television all around the world. It doesn't matter what country you're in, because the same basic things are being sold to people. And in exchange, the return is obedience, obeisance,
that's right,
and ultimately hegemony by the powers that are controlling them. That's why the Chinese wanted a television in every home by the year 2001. That's the main weapon of subjugation of the human soul.
It's right. You're right. And you can see, by their fruits you shall know them. Well, look at the fruitage of America's entertainment and television industry. Look at the fruitage. Go down to Hollywood Boulevard at 2 o'clock in the morning. Look at the fruitage. Walk across America and see the kind of problems that this society is having with drugs and violence and gang wars and all kinds of stuff.
They're terminal problems is what they are. I don't see them as being curable, because the powers that be don't want them to be cured.
Well, that's another thing, too. I've always said, and I believe, that what is happening with us in this country is what the government wants. I don't think that they want us to live peacefully, because people who live peacefully begin to study and read and educate themselves and become, higher minded. But in order to keep us where they want us, they present pictures of us on television as Beavis and Butthead and The Simpsons and all kinds of trashy stuff to imply that this is what your society is supposed to be like.
Insidious,
who
isn't
you
it?
Are.
Just incredible.
And again, like I said, it's a complete destruction of our Western civilization in order to prepare us to go into a new world order in which there will be no freedom left, period. There won't be any discussion about liberty, freedom, justice, the law, nothing. You will do what you're told to do, and there will be a totalitarian dictatorship, and we are in it now. And unfortunately, the people don't see it. And they never do see it until it's too late.
And
I've been trying to do for the past 48 years is to awaken people to how these people really work. And once you understand how the system actually, in fact, works, you can really see it for the first time that you've been had. You've been lied to and deceived from day one.
By sociopaths who have no morality and laugh at morality on this side as weakness.
That's
they mock
right.
it.
Again, I go back to the book I have. It's called Priesthood of the Illies. It's three typewritten manuscripts that I found many years ago. I was selling it many years ago, but it's extraordinary stuff, showing where the Romans got words, how they came up with these words in Latin for humans, and what these words meant, and how they were brought into our laws in the Middle Ages, and how these people who are in power think about us, what the words mean, what the terms and the symbols mean. And and of course, you and I have talked about that video I did on the dawn of a new day, the new day thing that finally got done. That was a real shocker. I mean, I've been watching it coming, but I was amazed when I began to see all the stuff that I have been researching and studying for years. Obama brought it out into full view. And you'd have to understand what I'm talking about.
So I remember,
to understand,
Jordan,
how Obama fits into this thing we call the dawn of a new day.
Look at the logo. It's all right there.
It's all on my website under What's New. Yeah, it's all there.
Jordan, thank you. Great to talk with you again. We'll talk to you every month at this time. Merry Christmas for what it's worth, and the Happy New Year for what it's worth. But you know what I'm really saying, and I really
appreciate it too.
Everything you've done. Take good care.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Good night. JordanMaxwell.com is the website. JordanMaxwell.com. It is a repository of supreme knowledge and wisdom. Do visit. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night.